This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. Brothers, sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله. We are going to, inshallah, carry on with the life of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. The topics, inshallah, we are going to cover today are going to be Abu Bakr's parents, Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu's specific qualities prior to Islam, which made him unique, and then also his embracing Islam. But before we dwell into that, let me just mention a couple of things. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu was the friend of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prior to Islam. He traveled with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a number of occasions, and age-wise, they were similar age. He was approximately 2 years younger than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, you may be thinking, what did Abu Bakr look like radiyallahu anhu? You know, this was a man who was at the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through thick and thin. On every occasion, the Messenger of Allah could rely on Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. The Sahaba defined him as the most courageous out of all of them. So what did Abu Bakr look like? Aisha radiyallahu anha says, my father was light in complexion. Light in complexion relative to the Arabs. So he wasn't light like European light, but he was light compared to the Arabs who lived in the Hijaz. Whilst today we call people who live in the Far East, we call them yellow complexion. The Arabs actually referred to the Europeans as Bani Asfar, those who were yellow in complexion. Physically, Abu Bakr was thin, amazingly thin. He was so thin that they say that his forehead protruded. His eyes had sunk in, his cheekbones protruded, and the bones on his finger, because he was so thin, protruded. And when he walked, he didn't walk, you know, upright. They say actually he walked with a stoop. He was so thin that when the command came that one should keep the izar above their ankles, that they should keep the trousers above their ankles because it's a sign of takabbur and haughtiness to have them below your ankles, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to the Messenger of Allah. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, I am so thin that my izar, my trousers, my lungi does not remain around my waist. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, you are exempt, for a man like you is exempt from the sifa of takabbur and arrogance and haughtiness. So this was how thin Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was. The Sahaba say, they say themselves, the Sahaba say, Abu Bakr, thinnest and weakest. They use the word, weakest in body, but the strongest in iman. And subhanAllah, you know, this is an amazing lesson for us. Why? Because you can have a large body, but you can be empty. Imam Muslim has brought a narration that on the day of judgment, a man will come, he will be rajulun saminun. Azeemun. Messenger of Allah defined him as Rajulun Saminun Azeemun, man, huge mass. He will be placed in the scale, but he will be lighter than a mosquito's wing. Why? Because the outer was beautiful, the outer was large, but the inner was empty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while defining the munafiqeen, he says, إِذَا رَعَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكُمْ أَجْسَامَهُمْ وَإِنْ يَقُولُ تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُصَنَّدَةٌ. So when you see the munafiqeen, لا إله إلا الله, you will be amazed by their bodies. When they speak, exceptionally articulate, they grasp you. But Allah says, كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُصَنَّدَةٌ. But in reality, they are like propped up pieces of wood. Propped up. Meaning, beautiful from the outside, empty in the inside. Let me give you an example. You walk past a mansion, and the mansion looks lovely from the outside, but there's nobody who lives in it. So you begin to wonder, why would nobody live in such a beautiful house? It's beautiful from the outside, but nobody lives inside it. This is like that body, which has a beautiful outer, but no soul, no richness of the soul. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was totally different. Abu Bakr didn't have a huge body, but he had a rich soul. That little body was bursting and brimming with a beautiful soul. And this is why, as believers, we should work on the soul. You see, people today, Muslims, non-Muslims, spend hours and hours in the gym pumping iron, but not a minute in the week pumping iman into the heart. You got hours for the gym, you don't have a minute for the masjid. People spend hours on makeup. That body goes into the earth, disintegrates, is eaten by the worms and the spiders. That soul that you feed goes up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is eternal. And really, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was like this. They say Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would use henna. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would use a dye upon his beard. They say Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a lot of hair. Conversely, Umar had no hair. Umar was actually bald. So one day a group of people came to Umar. You know, you get the naughty kind of individuals, and they say to Umar, who's better, the one who has no hair or the one who has plenty of hair on his head? Umar understood where they were coming from. Umar said the one who had plenty of hair on his head was far greater than the one who has no hair upon his head. So this was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's physical appearance. Physical weak, but iman was just amazing. Let's move on to the parents of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father's name was Abu Quhafa. This was his kunya. His real name was Uthman bin Amir. Now, he did not embrace Islam in the early days of Islam. He actually embraced Islam on Fateh Makkah, which was considerably later on when the Muslims conquered Makkah. Actually, he was not keen on the Muslims. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, when the Messenger of Allah and Abu Bakr migrated, I thought, let me go and see what's going on. So I went to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the father found out that I had come. He said, he picked up a stick and he chased me. He said, these are the youngsters who have corrupted my son, Abu Bakr. But on Fateh Makkah, this is where he embraced Islam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sought him out and he brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was an old man at the time. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Bakr, why didn't you leave him where he was? I would have gone to him. He's an old man. And look at this adab that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Who was Abu Quhafa? He's a mushrik at the time. But he's saying that, leave him where he was, I would have gone to him. And really, this is a serious lesson for all of us. Why? Because when people become people of status, dunyawi status or even religious status, they actually believe now everybody must respect them. The elders come, you know, there is no need for them to stand up and meet the elders. No. The life of the Prophet ﷺ is showing that this was an old man. He was a mushrik at the time. Prophet ﷺ said, leave, why didn't you leave him where he was? I, the most important man who was ever born on the face of this earth, would have gone to meet your father. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, true to form, he said, oh no, Messenger of Allah, it's more befitting that he come to you than you go to him. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said something really which exemplifies his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh Messenger of Allah, it would have pleased me, the pleasure for me would have been greater if Abu Talib had embraced Islam rather than my father. Because that would have given you greater pleasure. And the Messenger of Allah said, you have spoken the truth, O Abu Bakr. Shows, look, subhanAllah, shows that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that Abu Bakr was speaking with ikhlas. He embraced Islam on Fateh Makkah. A little while later, he heard screams and cries. He said, what's going on? They said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away. He said, who is this Khalifa? They said, your son. So on that occasion, Abu Quhafa said something amazing. He said, To whom Allah gives, nobody can deprive. And to whom Allah deprives, nobody can grant. What did he mean by this statement? What he meant was that Abu Bakr belonged to the clan of Taym. Taym were a small clan. Compared to that, there were far greater and stronger clans. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Abu Bakr over them. And this is really what this deen is about, wallahi. This deen is about choosing the best people. In this deen, we don't look at your bank balance. We don't look at your status. We don't look at your color. We don't look at your nationality. We look at the best man for the job. And you could say, the biggest controversy between the Sunnis and the Shias is this. They said Ali was the man that should be chosen. He was the family, and according to them, obviously, he was greater. According to the Sunnis, no, the best man was chosen for the job, and that was Abu Bakr, and he was not from the Bani Hashim. Couple of years later, again, Mecca erupts. There's cries and screams, and he said, what's happened? He was blind at the time. They said, your son's passed away. He said, who is his successor? They said, Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. He said, nobody is more deserving than Umar to be his successor. He passed away at the ripe age of 97 years old. His mother was Salma bin Sahar. She was the cousin of Abu Quhafa. She was also known as Ummul Khair, the mother of all good. Because she was an amazing individual. She embraced Islam in the very early part of Islam, at the era of Darul Arqam. Now, what is Darul Arqam? Darul Arqam is the first madarsa in the history of Islam. Approximately 40 Sahaba radiallahu anhum were Muslim at this time. Darul Arqam was the house of Arqam ibn Abd Manaf. He was the sixth person to embrace Islam, and it was at the foot, or very nearby, the mountain of Safa. Right next to it, attached to it, was the house of Bilal. Where it is, where it was once upon a time, it's still, there is a sign, or those people who are familiar with that area will tell you that this was the place where Darul Arqam was, the house of Arqam was. This was the first madarsa. This is where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would gather. This is where they would give the dawah. This is where the Messenger of Allah would teach him about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the place. If somebody new came and wanted to embrace Islam, they would take him to Darul Arqam. 40 Sahaba. That's it. The barakah of the sacrifice of those 40 Sahaba, you see it today, is that you are 1.6 billion Muslims. Everything great starts small. If they could come to the dunya today and they could see the fruits of their efforts, wallahi, imagine. And this was where his mother had embraced Islam. I will discuss in more detail later on her embracing Islam. Let me move on to certain characteristics which were unique to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. These were that Abu Bakr had prior to Islam. One of them was his knowledge of the Nasab genealogy. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, according to Aisha radiallahu anha, that nobody amongst the Quraysh knew genealogy better than Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Now, what is genealogy? Look, the Arabs loved to know about their forefathers. Actually, this was everything to them. You know, the clan, like I discussed earlier on, their clan, their tribe, their forefathers. This is what they would speak about all the time. Our forefathers were like this. Our clan like this. Our tribe is like this. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was an expert in this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُم مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَذِكْرِكُمْ أَبَاءَكُمْ أَوْ أَشَدَّ ذِكْرًا. So Allah says, when you have finished your Hajj rituals, then remember Allah, like you remember your forefathers. So you can understand how they remember their forefathers. Allah is saying, because what they would do is after Hajj, all the tribes and all the clans would be there, and then they would say, our forefathers were like this. Our clan is like this. Our tribe is like this. So Allah is saying, remember Allah, at least remember Allah like you remember your forefather, or ashadda dhikra, or more than you remember your forefathers. Now, this is very unique, because Abu Bakr took this skill of his, which really never had anything to do with Islam, but he used it for Islam. See, Ali radiallahu anhu said, "Kallimu nas ala qadri aqulihim." Speak to people according to their understanding. So when he would go to give dawah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take him, the first person to speak to these people wasn't the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It used to be Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would approach these individuals and he said, "Which tribe are you from?" They would say, "We're from this." He said, "Which branch?" He said, "This." He said, "Oh, your forefathers were so and so and so." And for them, this was subhanAllah. This man knows our genealogy better than we do. And all of a sudden, they would incline towards him. He would break the ice. And you understand how important it is that when Muslims are giving dawah, that they understand the mentality that they're giving dawah to. Because if you don't understand the mentality you're giving dawah to, you often cause greater harm than good without knowing it. And there's a four, you know, sometimes people are good, they are good at football, good at sports. So they can draw people toward the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through them. People are good at other things, but it is utilized for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would do. Also, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never drank before Islam. Why? He says, "One day I saw a man, he was drunk. And he put his finger in some excreta, and he took the excreta and he brought it back up to his nose, and it repelled him and he moved his face." He said, "I came to the conclusion that a person who drinks loses all self-dignity. It clouds his mind." He said, "I would never drink." And subhanAllah, this is amazing, because Abu Bakr was on the fitrah. He was on this nature, good nature. He naturally had a good nature. Don't drink. You know, it makes a person lose self-dignity. Today, Ajib, you have people who are born in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but who have lost their fitrah, who have lost their nature. They're born Muslims, but they drink. There's no, there was no Sharia in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to say, don't drink. But even before Islam, he never drank. Abu Bakr, la ilaha illallah, never worshipped idols. Even before Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu never worshipped idols. This was Ajib. He says, "Whilst I was a kid, my father Abu Quhafa took me to the idols and he made me sit in front of the idol. And I sat there for a little while." He told me to worship the idol. "I sat there for a little while and then I said to the idol, 'I am hungry, give me something to drink.' No response. 'I am thirsty, give me something to drink.' No response." He said, "After a little while, I picked up a stone and I threw it at the idol and the idol dropped." He said, "I came to the logical conclusion, if this idol cannot look after itself, how is it going to look after me?" And this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, so no idol. Abu Bakr, as I mentioned earlier, belonged to the tribe of the clan of Thaym. Now, every clan amongst the Quraysh had a responsibility. What was the responsibility of the Bani Thaym? The responsibility of the Bani Thaym was that when two clans or two tribes were at loggerheads or they had a fight or a feud, it was their responsibility to reconcile. The main person from amongst them was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. They say, if Abu Bakr gave a guarantee for somebody, nobody would ever violate that guarantee. He was a guarantor. If a person killed another person and Abu Bakr gave a guarantee for that individual, nobody would violate. This is the respect Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu had before embracing Islam. Now, when did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hear about this deen? What was the first time? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that the first time I ever heard about this deen was I was sitting by the Kaaba. And there was a man called Umayyah ibn Abi Salt. And he was doing tawaf around the Kaaba. And he said to Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, So Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail was the cousin of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he was a wahid. He believed in one Allah. He didn't worship the idols, and he believed that a final prophet would come. But he passed away 5 years prior to the coming of the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he met the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but 5 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the message, he passed away. And I will cover in more detail when I deal with the life of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. So Umayyah says to him, he said, has that prophet come yet? Umayyah also was from Taif, he belonged to the Bani Thaqif. And he said, Bani Thaqif, and he said to him, he said, has that final prophet come? He said, no, not yet. Abu Bakr was sitting there, and he found this strange. So he went to Warqat ibn Nawfal and asked him about this incident. And Warqat ibn Nawfal was the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anhu, the man who the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to when the revelation descended. And he said, yes, a final prophet will come, and he will come from amongst the Arabs. So Abu Bakr now already had this in his mind. Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is on a journey. And the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now in Mecca proclaimed that he's a messenger of Allah Abu Bakr comes back. The leaders of Quraysh come to him, and obviously they know that Abu Bakr is the friend of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they greet him, they speak to him about how his journey was, and then they say to him, do you know what Muhammad, your friend, he regards himself as a prophet. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, as soon as they left, went to the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knocked on the door, the Messenger of Allah came out, and he said, oh Muhammad, is it true what I've heard? He said, what have you heard? He said, they say that you are calling toward the oneness of Allah and you regard yourself as a messenger of Allah. He said, yes, it is true what you have heard. I am on the deen of Ibrahim. I have been sent as a Bashir and a Nazir, a warner and a person who warns people and gives them glad tidings. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is standing there. And he says, I have never heard you ever lie. And if there was anybody who deserves to be a prophet, it is you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka rasulullah. He embraced Islam there. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding the virtue of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, nobody else did I present Islam, but they thought, they hesitated besides Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. No sooner had I given him dawah, he embraced Islam. This was amazing virtue for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Why? I tell you why. Because see, he had the nature to accept the truth. Vast majority of people don't accept the truth. Why? Because they're too arrogant to accept the truth. Abu Bakr wasn't arrogant. Second, Abu Bakr didn't believe in blind affiliation. People do not accept the truth because they have this affiliation and they're so hard and so blind that no matter what comes to them, they will not accept. Abu Bakr was free from these qualities. He had no arrogance. So if the truth came to him, he wasn't arrogant, I'm not going to accept it. He accepted it. This was the religion of his forefathers. Every single Nabi who came with their dawah, their people said, no, we're not going to accept it. Why? Because this is what we found our forefathers upon. Not Abu Bakr. He said, you come with the truth, I will accept the truth. No blind affiliation. And subhanAllah, this is something, you know, we should take from the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We take haq wherever it comes from. The Messenger of Allah said, oh Allah, show me haq as haq. And give me the ability to follow it. Zakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.